says, you guys probably are learning the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the first and second Beis HaMikdash, there was two floors. You had the actual Heichel, you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was an Aliyah, there was a second floor on top of the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. In Masechet Midos, it gives the whole cheshbon that the bottom floor, the space, the height of the actual Beis HaMikdash was 40 Amos. Was altogether was 100 from the floor to the roof, but the actual size of the inside, when you stood on the base in the Kodesh, from the floor to the ceiling was 40 Amos. Then the roof took up a certain amount, and then the second floor was also high 40 Amos, and then together with the roof and the floor, and there was an item, there was a base, a foundation, almost together 100 Amos. How will it be in the third Beis HaMikdash? So in the third Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says, in Yecheskel, he says, V'r'isi l'bayis goiva saviv saviv. V'r'isi l'bayis goiva saviv. The third Beis HaMikdash is high. It's a height he did not, however, specify its dimensions. So Rashi says that Yecheskel loy pirish yura, he doesn't say the amount. But in Masechet Midos, we learned that it was high 100 amma. So from Rashi, it would seem that the second Beis HaMikdash will be, the third Beis HaMikdash will have the same height as the second. Tosfos Yom Tov learns Pshat in Rashi that Rashi is not trying to say that the third Beis HaMikdash will be the same as the second. Just saying Yecheskel doesn't say what it will be. The second Beis HaMikdash was 100. What will be by the third Beis HaMikdash? We don't know. Rashi just saying the information that we have so far. So that's how he learns, that's how the Tosfos Yom Tov learns Pshat. Just 1 second. Hello? Okay, fine. Sagazan. So there's a Sefer Ezra's Kainim on Masechet Midos, one of the fundamental Svarim Masechet Midos, you would say. He says that in the third Beis HaMikdash, he assumes it'll be the same thing. There'll be 100 Amos and there'll be two floors. Now, like I mentioned, Tosfos Yom Tov doesn't say it's not clear. He doesn't feel there's any clarity what it will be. It says, Baruch HaYedeya, blessed is the one that knows. What is interesting is that in the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzatu, Velt is very famous. He's mentioned, Tzemach Tzedek discusses one of the things he writes, but I don't want to get into it. But he has a sefer called Mishkanei Elyon. He explains the third Beis HaMikdash of Kabbalah, according to his description of Kabbalah and understanding. So from his way he writes it there and other places, it seems he learns that there won't be an Ali in the third Beis HaMikdash. He gives a whole thing. The first Beis HaMikdash was high 120 Amos. The actual Heichal thing was 30 Amos and was whatever whole thing. The second, so he said, the third Beis HaMikdash, the idea that he's expressing is that in the third Beis HaMikdash there's no need for an Aliyah. The whole idea of Aliyah means there's a higher and a lower level and they're separate. Third Beis HaMikdash should be HaKoy Lachad. The higher levels will merge with the lower levels. There won't be a need for an Aliyah. So he's Mashma, yeah. Explains that the Chof Amos in the first Beis HaMikdash was 120. So the 100 is Chochma. 20 is Kesser. So in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kesser was shining in the Chochmah. The third Beis HaMikdash, you want to be emerged. The Kesser, it doesn't say 100% clear. It's pretty clear. It's pretty strongly matched from what he's saying that there won't be an Aliyah. Just want to point out some interesting things you could think about. One of the things that you used Aliyah for was that they used to, when there was anything wrong in the Beis HaMikdash downstairs, they needed to fix it. So they used to send, if they had the priority, it was Kohenim, Yuchasim, if not Levim, if not Yisraelim, even people that were Tami, if need be, they used to send them in boxes from the second floor. They used to, lower them down in boxes so they could fix anything needed to be fixed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was every once in 7 years. Forget exactly how long often it was. So now, in third Beis HaMikdash, there's no Aliyah, there's no second floor. How are they going to lower them? So the simple answer is, the third Beis HaMikdash, you won't need any fixing. Right? That everyone spoke the whole Sicha. Says the fact that you need to fix something shows in a very big Yerida. Particularly, talking about the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be Maisei Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be made by the Eibishter himself. Won't need any fixing. So that's just one thing. I mean, there's other ways I'm sure somebody was discussing to whatever you want. The Pashtus, you could say there won't be any need for any repairs. Somebody was discussing theoretically, I mean, in truth, the Rebbe says the loss of it could be the Ravid will be allowed in Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's another idea. Somebody was saying, what about using robots? Okay, whatever. But there's another thing I just want to mention. Stop, imagine, what about using robots in Third Beis HaMikdash? You can never know, Chveisnish, at the other Nish. But anyway, another thing I want to mention, the Gemara in Bava Basra explains that the reason why the height of the bottom floor was a certain size, the Gemara explains in the beginning of Bava Basra, the Gemara says a whole cheshbon that if you have, because that in the first Beis HaMikdash they had a wall, but in the second Beis HaMikdash they didn't have a wall. A whole thing that is, huh? Between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because if the wall is a certain, if, in other words, they have a straight wall that's narrow going very high up, it's not going to last. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk describes that the wall between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim will be 2 amas. How is it going to be able to, if there won't be a second floor, what's going to hold this wall in place? Okay, another thing to think about. I'll just say, everyone's probably familiar with the Sikha that Rebbe spoke about that in the third Beis HaMikdash they'll use metal. Yeah? It's a chiddush of Rebbe, you know, like this metal wasn't allowed to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe spoke a whole chiddush, a whole interesting Sikha in Beit. So I heard that this was, the whole Sikha was Bekesher. Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon, he wrote into the Rebbe that in the third Beis HaMikdash it says that on the sides of the doors, for beauty, there'll be pillars. The pillars are going to be 60 amas high. And they're going to be made, it says, of stone. Yeah. So yes, how's it shaykh to have something so high, vertical, straight up, dimensions, the way base it is, will fall. So he said, the only way it's really shaykh is if it's made out of metal. The thing's coming down. So there's like Mehemshech to that, the Rebbe spoke to Sicha about, I think he wrote into the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon, he worked with Keller a little bit in the basement. So he wrote in, is it on, is it live? So he wrote to the Rebbe that it's, Rashi I think clearly says will be Avni Gazes, but it's a certain dimension, certain diameter, and based on the Gemara, I don't know the whole thing he wrote to the Rebbe, it's 60 amas high, and it's a diameter that is, how's it going to hold? So I think he suggested maybe if it's made out of metal, it could go up. And then the Rebbe spoke a whole sikha about using metal in the third Beis HaMikdash. Stamps, I'm just mentioning it regarding this, the wall. If there won't be an aliyah, so to have a wall that goes 100 amas or a little less up, whatever, you don't know how high it will be. But if you're going to say, the Ramchal wants to say, I think it will be 100 amma, and there won't be an aliyah, there won't be... So, you'll tell me when I'm live, yeah?
Yeah, here we go, we're ready to set. And...
I'll tell you the story later. The Rebbe, when he started going on television, came to the Farbringen earlier, so that when the TV cast started, he was already sitting.
I have to get in shape for that. So sorry for the good. Oh. Good.
At any rate, okay. Guess I'll start. I don't know what's going to happen over here. Huh?
Oh, I see that. Right here.
There's a... didn't start yet. There's an interesting Gemara in Dendam Masechta Makkos. Pretty famous Gemara, very powerful Gemara. It says two stories, Rabbi Akiva and his other Chachamim. So the Gemara says in Dendam Masechta Makkos two stories about Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Mordechai says the Kfar Hay Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva Mahalchum Mederech. Kfar already happened at one point. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were going on the road. The Shamul Koil Hamoyne Shal Reimi Miplata Berochik Meya Vesrimil. They heard the sound of the Hamoyne Shal Reimi of the multitudes of Rome from a plata, from a square. And it was 120 mil away. A mil is 2,000 amas, about 3,000 feet. You make the math yourself, 120 times that. V'ischilu boichin, they started crying. Rabbi Akiva Masachik, Rabbi Akiva started laughing. Amru lo'im ipnei atem Masachik, so they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? Amru lo'im v'atem ipnei atem boichim, so he asks back to them, and you, why are you crying? Amru loy, so they told him, Alolu kushim, shemishtachvim la'atzovim, mekatim la'avidas keichovim, yeshvim bedach. It says, these are kushim. Kushim really means people from Kush, but it's a term that they used for the Romans. It's in other words, at their lower level of society, that are worship bowing down to idols, and they're bringing incense to idol worship. Yeshvim bedach, hashke, they're sitting in peace and security. And us, the house of the Beis Hamikdash, which they describe as the house of the footstool of Hashem. The pasuk says, "Hashemayim kisi vados hadayim ragloi." The Beis Hamikdash is called the footstool of Hashem. Is burnt in fire, and we shouldn't cry. It says, "That's why I'm laughing." If for those that go against the will of Debeshe, they have such peace and security and such prosperity that they could hear their voice, and you know they obviously felt the peace and the security that they were enjoying far away. I think the Masha says doesn't mean that they physically heard the voice, they're able to already feel the feeling of the security and peace that the Romans were enjoying already far away from that actual city. So if those that go against the Eibishter's will are like this, Allah is kama kama, how much more so the Eibishter is going to give to those that follow the Eibishter's will. Shuv pa'machas ho'el n'Rishalayim, and another time happened, they were going up to Yerushalayim. Kivin shigiu l'harat seifim koro bigdeim, they reached a point called Harat Seifim, that's a mountain, I don't know, today they have also Harat Seifim, I don't know if it's the same thing, it's a Mount Scopus, I think they call it in English, or the place you're able to see the Beis HaMikdash, I don't think it's the Harat Seifim we're talking about here, but anyway, So that's the furthest point from where you're able to see Yerushalayim, and the halach is when you see the Beis HaMikdash, able to see the Beis HaMikdash and Harabayis, they tore their clothes. Kivan shingil laharabayis, roshul shiotzim beis kodshi hakadoshim. They reached the Harabayis, the temple mount, they saw a fox coming out of the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. Hischilu haim boichin, Rabbi Akiva mitzachik. They started crying, Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amru loy mipnei mata mitzachik. Ask them, why are you laughing? What's the joke? Amrulam pnei matam boichim says, why are you crying? Amrulay mokim shakasubay vazar akarev yumas vachshav shualim holchubay vlenivka. They said the place in which the pasuk says that the stranger which comes near should be put to death. Even the Kohen Gadol wasn't allowed in during the rest of the days of the year. If he would have gone in during the rest of the days of the year, he would have been considered a stranger. And now foxen are going there playing around. We shouldn't cry. He says, that's why I'm crying. The Ksiv Kuzit says, huh?
I'm
laughing, yeah, that's why I'm laughing. The Ksiv, Vaidali Eidim Namonim Suriya Uriya Akim is Chai Ben Yverech Yohu. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Eibush says, I testified, I have two witnesses to testify for me. Uriya HaKoyin and Zachai Ben Yverech Yohu. Or says the Gemara, the identity of these two, Zechariah, we know who it is. Uriah Cohen, the whole thing. I'm short in time. I'm not going to go into all these details. Tosfos discussed it a little bit. The Kelim, the Ben Yishchai, gives interesting pshat. But anyway, the Ben Yoyada, Ben Yishchai discusses this also. But anyway, but he says, he says, what is the connection between the Navi Uriah and the Navi Zechariah? Uriah was in the first base on Mikdash. Uzachariah b'miktasheni. Zachariah was in the second Beis HaMikdash. So you had a Navi, Uriah, that lived during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. You had, during the same time as Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you had Zachariah was later on, and Zachariah was the last one of the Nevi'im that finishes off the Tirei Yasser. He lived during the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they're not really at the same time, so what's the connection between them? The Pasuk says that the prophecy of Zechariah is dependent, is connected as one unit with the prophecy of Uriah. By Uriah it says, it's actually a Pasuk in Micha, but whatever, you look in Tosfos and other Mepharshim, they explain Uriah also said this. It says that because of your sins, Tzion will be plowed like a field. The whole Harabayis will be raised to the ground and plowed through over like a field. And the Pasuk says in Zechariah, that this still yet come a time that old women and men will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, and the Pasuk continues, each one will be holding in their stick in the hand from being old age. It says, before the prophecy of Uriah happened, I was afraid maybe the prophecy of Zechariah won't get fulfilled. Says, now that I see that the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled, I know that the prophecy of Zechariah will also be fulfilled. So the Gemara in Masechet Makos finishes off, Beloshin hazeh amru loy. They told him in this Loshin, in these words, Akiva nichamtono, Akiva nichamtono. Akiva, you comforted us. Akiva, you comforted us. Now, the Rebbe spoke about this a number of times. Again, I'm short in time. The Rebbe is in Tavshin Chafei Yud Shvat. The Rebbe spoke a number of sichas on this thing. There's also a sich in Chelek Yitesh Shabbos Nachum. Another Hadin the Rebbe once spoke about this. More or less, basic ideas are similar. There's also a few other places the Rebbe spoke about this, but I'll focus on the main Nekudas that the Rebbe says. The Rebbe asks here like 20 questions. We're not going to repeat them. many diyukim questions. What's going on over here? The whole thing is many questions here. Just get to the point of the Sikha. The Nekudas HaDvarim, the point is like this. In general, we know that Rabbi Akiva's approach, which we find in a number of other stories and instances, is Rabbi Akiva always saw the positive and the negative. What's the famous story that I'm sure everyone heard about? It's the story when Rabbi Akiva was once traveling and he had a candle and a rooster and a donkey and he wanted to stay over in someone's in the village. No one let him in and he had to sleep over in the forest. And the lion came and ate his donkey and the cat came and ate up his rooster and the wind blew out his candle. And Rabbi Akiva said, "Koma David Rachmana l'tavavid." Whatever the Eibusha does, whatever the merciful one does, he does for good. So he didn't know why it was good, but he believed it was good. Then the next morning, he heard what happened, that the band robbers came and they took the whole town. And if he would have been there, he would have also been taken into captivity. If they would have heard his donkey or his rooster, or they saw him learning Torah with his candle, they would have, Rachman al-Tzlan, harmed him. So whatever the Eibusha does for good. Now in this itself, that you see that something that's positive, that something that's negative is really positive, there's multiple layers, but there's two general levels over here. The Rebbe compares this in another sicha, contrasts the story of Rabbi Akiva with the story of Nachum Ish Gamzel. Right? We all know the story of Nachum Ish Gamzel and Gamzel Leteva, that the emperor wanted to find favor in his eyes, and they sent Nachum Ish Gamzel with a chest of precious diamonds, gold, whatever it was, and he stayed over in some hotel by night, and the guys figured out that this must be something precious. In the middle of the night, they exchanged the gold and the stones with, some dirt earth, and he didn't know anything. He went to the emperor, and he tells him the Jewish people brought a present, and the emperor gets very mad. He says he should, like the Rebbe says, you do to him what you do with someone that rebels against the king. And Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the emperor and he says, maybe he appears in the image of one of the emperor's ministers, he says, maybe this is the dirt that Avram used against the kings of miraculous earth that turned into swords and arrows. So try it out. So Rebbe says, the Feltnish came Lachamas, by Rome and the other guy, plenty of wars that they were waging. They decided to use it out on the battlefield. And the taka worked miraculously. So the king was so thankful for the Jewish people, he gave back Nochem Ish Gamzo a whole chest full of gold and diamonds and so on and so on. It's a famous story. So the Rebbe says, what is the difference between Nochem Ish Gamzo and Rabbi Akiva? Both of them said that whatever happened is for good. What is the difference? Nochem Ish Gamzo says, Gamzu L'Toyva, this itself is for good. Rabbi Akiva said, whatever Koma David Rachmona L'Tav Ovid, whatever the Eibishter does is for good, which means Tzaka is something negative. The Rebbe says was nothing positive in of itself that happened because Rabbi Akiva's candle went out, or his donkey, a rooster were eaten up. It just that negative thing saved from worse, from his, you know, from his life, from his captivity, whatever it might be. So the negative thing led to a positive. Nochem Ish Gamzo, on the other hand, it's not just that the negative thing was taka negative, but it led to a positive. The negative thing itself was good. What the king appreciated the earth. The Rebbe says if he would have brought diamonds and rubies and whatever it says, I forget whatever the Gemara says, he put into his box of precious gold and silver, who says the emperor would have been impressed? He has plenty of that in his own treasure houses. So Jew, not that he brought him a special, unique present that the king couldn't create on his own, obviously, the special earth. After that, he found favor in the eyes of the king. So the fact that they exchanged the gold and the silver, whatever was for the earth, wasn't just a negative thing that led to a positive thing. No, punfaker, the negative thing itself was good. So he says, Gam zul the taiva, this itself is good. Rabbi Akiva was the next generation. The Rebbe says, you weren't able to see the Eibishter is good in a such revealed way. So he says, Koma David Rachmana L'tavav, this is done for good. What does this all have to do with over here? So the same thing is going on over here. The difference between the two stories, in a certain sense, is that in the first story, Rabbi Akiva looks at something negative and learns out something positive from something negative. But the negative thing itself still remains negative. The second story is the main chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, which is like the Nochem Ish Gamzo, that even though Rabbi Akiva in general, like the Rebbe says, wasn't on the level of Nochem Ish Gamzo, but such an inyan, which is negate the Kololos Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole, for that he was able to see, like Nochem Ish Gamzo, he saw as the negative thing itself is good. And this obviously has to do with the 3 weeks. The Rebbe says when Mashiach will come, they'll be transformed into days of happiness. So what does it mean to be transformed in days of happiness? So one way of learning is, why is it transformed? Days of happiness, you're happy that it's over. You know, you suffered so much, not the Mashiach is here. So when these days come, we'll be celebrate that Baruch Hashem, now we're not suffering. But if that's the case, the negative thing is not transformed. The Rebbe says, true nechama, true comfort is that the negative thing itself gets transformed to good. Like you say, when is the term nechama, comfort, used? When you're menachem avel, when you comfort people that are mourning. What do you say? The lashon is that the Eibishter should comfort them, like the Eibishter will comfort the Jewish people that are mourning for Tzina and Yerushalayim. So what's going to be the true comfort to someone that passed away? There'll be tchias ha-mesim. And then the negative thing will be completely gone, and adrab, it'll be much greater simcha, much greater happiness. The actual crying itself will be turned into laughter. So Mashiach will come, the negative thing itself will be turned into good. How will that happen? Whatever, let's discuss first the stories over here. So, the first story the Rebbe says is like this. The Rebbe spoke, Yitra Tavshin Chavei Veri Geshmak, and Avoida, the Rebbe explained, Dinin Alpida, Adarech Remez, Alchazer, the Rebbe's way the Rebbe explained. The Rebbe says, the idea of traveling on a road, in general, in the terms of Yiddishkeit, we know means going in the ways of David, or doing Teira Mitzvahs. When the Yidden are in Galus, so the road that they're taking is what? You have, the Rebbe says, you have it, the four Chacham, Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, he was a Yisrael, Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi, Rabbi Lozom Nazai was a Kohen, Rabbi Kiva was a Ger. This represents the whole mix of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people in the time of Golos are traveling on the road. That's why he uses the Lashon Kvar. It doesn't say once they were traveling on the road. It says an expression, they were already traveling on the road. It means that it's since the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or more deeper from the time that the Neshama goes into the Guf, we're on the road. When you're on the road, so where were they going? They were going to Rome. What are they doing in Rome? Some Pshat, the Rebbe says, they were going to Rome. It's Mashma, the Rebbe says, they have to go to nullify a decree. Because if not, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah was a Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to go. It's not supposed to, if you go outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's a Tumah. that a kohen becomes impure, he wouldn't usually do it unless it was a need for him to go out. So in pshat, he's going to nullify the kri. What does it mean spiritually? Spiritually, it means that they're going to Rome means you have to go refine the sparks of godliness that get scattered, that are in the place of golos. So they're all traveling, and they're going on the road, and they're traveling on the road. They have to pay attention to what's going on in the world. Rabbi asked, why are they listening to what's going on in Rome? Why are they hearing what's going on? Shouldn't they be involved in learning Torah in such a way that they don't hear what's going on? The Rebbe says, when you're going to elevate the world, you have to hear, you have to be in a situation that you could pick up if something is out in the world that needs your avoided, that needs you to sit down and work with it, elevate it. So they started crying. Before the Gemara says why they started crying, the Gemara says they started crying. The Rebbe says the etzem minyan, they're going into, they have to go and deal with Rome, made them cry. They realized the Yerida, this is a big descent. The Neshama went down into Golos, they're in Golos, they have to go to the lowest places to elevate it. It's a great sad, it's a great pain, they started crying. Rabbi Akiva started laughing. Why did Rabbi Akiva start laughing? Because he was a ger. Rabbi Akiva appreciated Chacham for them, they were looking at the pain that they're experiencing going into Golos. Rabbi Akiva appreciates what this is going to lead to, because Rabbi Akiva, the whole Torah we have today is from Rabbi Akiva. All the Tanoim, who was Rabbi Akiva? Was the son of Gedim. If a goy wouldn't have converted, he wouldn't have had the whole Torah Shebaal Peh today, the whole Gemara, Mishnah, whatever it is. So Rabbi Akiva realizes the maila of going and elevating the world. He sees himself where he's coming from. So he realizes that all the trouble that they're going through is all kedai, is all worth it, abit, to be able to elevate the world. So then they ask him, why are you laughing? So he says, why are you crying? What does this mean? They tell Rabbi Akiva, it's true, we see that you appreciate this avoid of elevating the world. You can really understand what we're going to accomplish by elevating the world. But nevertheless, wouldn't it have been better if you wouldn't have had to go down so low to do this? We could have stayed in the Eretz Yisrael, had the Beis HaMikdash, and these sparks would have automatically been included in the Kedusha. That's what Chassidus says, the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't have been destroyed. We somehow would have been able to elevate the sparks. So Rabbi Akiva answers back, as Rebbe says, one Jew answers back another Jew with a question, why are you crying? What do you mean, why are you crying? He says, you knew the whole time, for the whole time you're in Galus. You're doing this avodah of elevating the world. You chatchila knew when you're going to the road what's going on in the world. What all of a sudden happened when a person starts crying must be that something hit him that he didn't know about before. So what hit you now? You know, this churban, the galus, we all see. So why all of a sudden are you crying now? So they tell him, basically, the Nekudah the Rebbe says, and running short in time, that they tell him that the galus is so bad, says we don't even, all we hear is Rome. We don't even hear the such great sparks of holiness, but we don't even pick them up. The sparks of holiness got so consumed in Rome that if we would go there and sparks of holiness would be making noise, they would be there. But the galus got so bad that we don't even, you have to dig for the sparks of holiness that's so concealed, they started crying. Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm laughing. What does he say? He says, if it's got so bad in galus, so he sees the positive, he sees that there must be, that this tells me that if Golos is so low, the Gula will be so great in a way, if it doesn't make sense how Golos got so bad, then the Gula will be in such a way that also won't make sense. He says, obviously he knew that Yerushalayim will be great, but he says, you know, loss of love, what's going to be the true unlimitedness that the Jewish people will experience? Debeshit himself. The Beis in Shalmaila, the heavenly court, could say, maybe you didn't deserve it, maybe your Avoida isn't great. So he says, now he sees how they're going to be, the answer will be, that time will be taken away. If the Romans, which don't deserve it, have all this prosperity, so loss of love, in the future, even if the Jewish people don't deserve it, they're Avoida, but they're going to get the greatest revelations. Okay. Now in this story, it doesn't say they told them you comforted us, because at the end of the day, it's just how from a negative, you're able to deduct a much greater positive. So you see how within the negative, you could always see, it leads you to understand the positive thing. But the negative thing was transformed to good, no. The next story, they're going to Yerushalayim. The Rebbe said, what does it mean to Yerushalayim? They're finished elevating the world. They're getting ready to bring Mashiach. And they're already, the Chachamim are ready for Mashiach. They go and they see a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rebbe explains the Kodesh HaKadoshim represents the Nekud of a connection of the Yid with the Eibishter. There's a place where the Torah is, the Luchais, the ultimate part of Torah. A fox represents the Chachma, he's a wise wise animal, the smartest animal, is the idea, the chokhmah of klipa, the wisdom of klipa, and a person trying to take Torah and pervert it, turn it around. He says, like, you know, the story with the fox, with the water. He told the fish, you're in the water, come out of the, you know, they're running back and forth because the fishermen are about to take them out. So he says, come out and you'll live with me on dry land. And they suddenly fool. If we come out of now, we're in water where our life is insecure because the fishermen might trap us. If we go out of water, of course, we're not going to be able to survive. So he says, the fox is telling the Jewish people, the reason why you have tzaddis is because you're learning Torah. Leave the water, leave Torah, it'll be wonderful. Jewish people tell them, Shaitan, if not for Torah, we wouldn't have any life. But anyway, the fox is trying to use Torah and blame things on Torah. So the Rebbe says, the Chachamim, they thought they're ready for Mashiach. They see here, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the highest point, is being taken into Klipa. That devastated them. They started crying. Akiva says no. He says now he started laughing. He says, until we hit rock bottom, I don't know the gula is going to, in other words, we know the gula is going to happen. But there's a few points here. But first of all, until we hit rock bottom, he says, how do I know that the gula will be on the greatest way possible? If the negative side, if in the golos didn't reach the lowest of the low, then maybe the gula won't reach the highest of the high. The fact that I see that the thing reached so low is the harayah that the haftachas, the promises of Mashiach will come, will be the highest possible. Then he says, the Rebbe added the word, which I don't have time to elaborate too much. He says, Adrab, he says, when a Jew hits rock bottom, that's a source of comfort. It was until he hits rock bottom, he could talk himself into, hey, I'm not so bad, I'm still Jewish, I'm still religious. But when he reaches a point that he can't talk himself into that he's still connected with Eibishter, that pushes him to tshuva. So when he sees that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Tzion HaMitzuyenus, and the Kudus HaYadus, the Bayayid, that was for Krochen, who knows where. So Rabbi Akiva says, he realizes this is what's going to push the Yidin to do tshuva, and they reach rock by this. Anyway, so in the Rebbe says a whole interesting thing. The Nakudi here is, he says that Beis HaMikdash was plowed like a field. What happens when you plow a field? You uproot it all the way to the bottom, but that is how you're going to be able to grow things. Rabbi Akiva says this is not golos. He says this fact that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we're reaching rock bottom, is not something which is going to lead to good. The two prophets of Zechariah and Uriah, one discussing the positive, one discussing the negative, is one unit. In the negative thing itself, he sees the good. He sees this is not it's like Al-Derech, what the Rebbe explained, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed to make room for the third Beis HaMikdash. He says, when things reach rock bottom, this is the process which directly leads to the greatest heights. So they told him, Akiva nichamtonu nichamtonu. By us, you now transformed our mindset. We see the good. And it's very, I am short in time, just three hayrois that we learn out from this. One hayrois, first of all, Rabbi Akiva didn't have a suffix, what's going to happen, the Mashiach will come. But for us, if we do have sveikis, if we see, you look at the choshech of the world, you might see, how's it possible that things are getting worse when we thought things are supposed to get better, v'chumlu v'chumlu. So the answer is like this, if you see things got worse, is the charaya that every haftach in Torah, which I don't want to have to enumerate every haftach, m'sach to seit, m'sach to tzanet, if that was fulfilled to the T, that things reached Shalish Klippas Atmeis, the worst way possible is that when you look at the world and see what the world is, Adadaba. If that negative was fulfilled, is that if the Gola seems to be sold in such a way, actually, Yisyashim Nagul doesn't make sense, Mashiach is coming, that's the biggest right that it will happen. Because it doesn't make sense that the Gola got so bad. The fact that Gola got so bad is because the Abishah prophesies will be so. If the Abishah prophesies will be so then the prophecy of redemption will come. That's the first thing. The second thing is, Rebbe says, Rabbi Kiva tells the Chachamim, what are you crying for? If you see that the Yidus Farakroch and don't cry, bring him back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But why are you giving up? Why are you, if you see things are so bad, so don't sit there with Falek the hand and cry. Do something. Be besimcha and bring the Gula. The third Nakuda was what Rebbe says, is the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, is that when you see the negative things itself that go on, this itself is good. They should be able to see that the negative thing is not taish, it's a negative, but the negative happens, the good will happen. Should be able to see that we'll say lasa will be begili, but that oit chavaya kian after be. At the end of the day, it's the negative things that are happening. Tosis be'emes, the gula, the golus itself, you see the gula. And Rebbe says that Yid has the koyach. First of all, he shouldn't give up. Void v'weikim, when he sees negative things happening, look at the positive that is concealed in the negative, and transform it. And don't cry. Be happy. Be b'simcha. Mashiach v'zeichet, the nechama of the gula amitas v'ashleim, take it from Yad Mamash.